Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, kind of the Mike and JD Show, but I am your host, Mike Gilbert. As you can tell, I switched up the intro. So this was going to be a Mike and JD Show, but JD, during the TNA pay-per-view, messaged me in his, he lives out in the boondocks, he's out in the sticks. He always claims Chicago, but I think he's like an hour away. but he's out in the boondocks, and his power went out. I don't know if he had a tornado or what, but during the pay-per-view, he was able to catch some of it, but during the show, all of his power, his internet, everything just went down, and so he was not able to watch the pay-per-view, and therefore, he is, as far as I know, the power is still out. He said that he had some solar power kicked on a little bit, but he had no internet, so he was not going to be able to come on the show tonight, so I said, fuck it, if it's just going to be me, and I'm talking a TNA pay-per-view, I'm doing Brace for Impact. So, hey now, it's Brace for Impact, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm going solo on that ass. But it's still the same. We are talking some TNA wrestling. If you are hopping in the chat and you did not come here for TNA talk, you're welcome to lay down a topic for me, and I will address it as such. But if not, this is going to be a full-blown TNA show, which I'll be honest, TNA does my best numbers on my YouTube, so I'm cool with that. That's where I get most of my dough, my cheddar, is my TNA talk. But welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody in the chat. Thank you for being here. You know, I'll always accept super chats, but if you don't, I'll just address your chat anyway. But if you just want to just give me money, I'd be happy with that, too. But since JD's not here, I won't share it with him. It'll just be straight to me. It'll be to the Mike Gilbert Retirement Fund. But yeah, chat is hopping, so I'm going to get to you guys. A lot happened tonight on TNA Genesis. They were sold out. Tom Hannifin announced on the show they were sold out. I believe, Io, keep me honest, Io, I believe they said it was their biggest live paid gate. Their biggest paid attendance, like in the history since Anthem has purchased the company. And I believe that they were, Joseph G, I'm going to text you real quick. I'm going to text you real quick, but I believe, they had like 3,000 people in there, which is pretty freaking good for a TNA show. TNA, it's difficult for TNA to get that many people into a show. And, but they were able to do it for Slammiversary last year. They did it for Bound for Glory last year. And then if they're starting off hot with a TNA Genesis with a 3,000 people. So, they did a good job of filling that place up. I did get word, and this is not me being tribalist, but it's just a way to compare how the show looked and how the show did as far as attendance wise. I did get word from somebody that was in the building that, not only did they surpass Ring of Honor's last show there, they surpassed the last time AEW did a Collision there. He said just based off of the way that it looked, because this is a guy that goes to all the Dallas area shows. I'm sure he will definitely chime in here on the chat. So, IO kept me honest. He said highest paid pay-per-view attendance. So highest paid pay-per-view attendance. So thank you, IO. All right, man, chat, you guys are going crazy. I'm going to get to you. So, yeah, Joe Hendry is the new world heavyweight champion. They finally paid it off. You know, they set it up. You know, if you were watching the last couple of weeks of TV, which based off of the ratings, I don't think you were. But if you were, and the documentary that they did on Joe was fantastic. And he talking about how much this meant to him and things like that. And all the struggles that he's had to get here. They did a really good personality profile piece, talked about his history in wrestling, all kinds of stuff. They talked about all of that. And last week, the way he cut his promo with Nick Nemeth, they kind of foreshadowed him winning here. We're still trying to leave a little bit of doubt, but they set it up to where if he didn't win, he was going to be completely dead as a babyface. So he had to win. And he did. So we're going to start off. Guys, I know some of you want to talk about PCO. I'm going to get into PCO in a little bit, but I think the biggest story right now is, yes, Joe Hendry is the new champion. I'm going to bring on Cousin Joe. Cousin Joe, you were able to catch the end of the pay-per-view. You didn't get to watch the beginning, but what do you think of Joe Hendry being the new TNA World Heavyweight Champion?
About damn time. And I was really happy that the crowd was still psyched for it. I don't keep up with TNA every single week. I watch, you know, big matches. I watch clips, and seeing Hendry come out to a big pop and still a big reaction really made me happy. I was kind of worried, like, was he going to start losing some of his steam and they pulled the trigger too late?
Well, so people that don't watch TNA that are on Twitter that are just shitposting have been trying to tell everybody that Joe Hendry has lost steam. Yeah. But that crowd, 3,000 strong, was completely hot for this guy. The guy has lost zero steam.
And you know what? Like, so I caught, I think, the last three matches. The women's title match, I was wondering, is like, is the crowd not going to be there for it? Yeah. Like, the crowd didn't seem overly hot. And I was kind of worried because you had just told me that the Alexander Santana match was awesome. I was like, oh, man, did they put the best match in the middle of the card and then burn the crowd out? Right. Because that does happen. That happens with every promotion at some point.
I think with Masha and Rosemary, that just wasn't a hot match.
They didn't really have
a good story. They tried to mask the lack of a storyline by doing crazy stuff, which I think they did a good job of getting the crazy stuff in there. Yeah. And I think the crowd eventually started to like it, but the match, there was just no heat for it. Nobody really cared who won or who lost.
Yeah. So I was getting a bit worried just about the crowd overall at that point, but man, and then the terrible segment right before the match, I had to immediately text you. I was like, what are we doing here? Like, that's awful. Ryan Nemeth just saying my brother over and over again.
You know, he's trying to get that my brother thing over as like a heel thing. It's going to work because it's so annoying.
Yeah.
And him getting punched in the face by JBL in the main event. Actually, I thought that got over. So,
yeah. I thought that was well done. And I'm really curious what the payoff for this JBL indie outside of WWE run thing is. Like, is it Joe Hendry versus JBL? Nick Nemeth versus JBL? Is he just going to keep popping up and clotheslining people and leave?
I think eventually they got to get to a match, right? JBL's he's in good shape. He's talking about coming back. He's going to be on Raw tomorrow, so
maybe he'll be in the Rumble.
I don't think the WWE wants him to have a match because he is, you know, pushing 60, but he looks like he wants to have a match.
Yeah. So maybe something happens there. I just don't know. Is it with Hendry? Is it with Nemeth? That kind of has me confused. He's popping up everywhere, clotheslining people and leaving. So I'm kind of curious where that goes, but overall just very happy for Joe Hendry. The guy worked his ass off to get extremely over last year in literally every company that he could.
Yeah. Yeah. He's done a really good job of getting over. He did not work his ass off in this match. I felt like him and Nemeth were like taking turns resting and then just hitting some big moves and then doing some chin locks. And it was very, it was almost like he was auditioning to like go wrestle Randy Orton.
Yeah, I could see that. And it really felt, let's just pass the match until the big JBL spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we know the big kickouts will get the crowd going.
I'll be honest, and goddamn, it worked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They did almost nothing. They set up some interferences, some hope spots, some kickouts, and the fucking crowd ate it up and they got over. And then Joe Hendry winning had them go crazy. And then him going out into the crowd was, it was a pretty awesome like camera shot to kind of close the scene. I thought they did a really good job of making Joe seem like and feel like a really big star.
Yeah. And I think he's a perfect guy. Like obviously Nemeth has like WWE fans would know him, but with it being, you know, the genesis of TNA, this new partnership with NXT and Hendry having been the guy who went to NXT last year and got extremely over with the NXT crowd, I think he's a perfect guy to kind of lead this next chapter of what that partnership is.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. But I'll go ahead and let you, well, you know what? I haven't, I buried you on my live impromptu live podcast. I called you some really bad names and I said, you never have any good ideas, but just give me your quick thoughts since I'm already burying you. Give me your thoughts on the WWE TNA kind of like formalizing their already kind of existing partnership, but getting it on paper.
So I think the word cautiously optimistic is what everybody's using. And that's kind of
I'm going with that as my headline. I put out a video today about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I think there's a lot of cool potential with it, but also understanding the history of other partnerships with WWE.
Yeah.
I think the wrestlers are very excited about it. There's a lot of cool stuff I think you can see. Them actually having a formal agreement on paper and announcing it together, I think is a lot different than what we've seen in at least the recent past. I think Anthem being an actual big company with big executives and actual lawyers will help more than like a Progress or ICW or Evolve, where they were small companies, small just wrestling people. Like Anthem is actually a big company. They know how to do these kind of deals and not just be bullied around by the bigger company. So I think on the business side, that will help. In the immediate, I think we're seeing it pay off. I'm very excited for Impact on Thursday. That Axiom match versus the Rascals should be awesome. I'm expecting fuckery like almost immediately. I think something's going to happen there.
I think Fraxium probably wins that one clean, unless they're trying to just start the relationship off hot and put the belts on the Rascals. But Fraxium, they're baby faces, right?
They are baby faces. I'm not expecting the fuckery from them so much as Wesley.
Okay.
So he's going to be the guy waiting in the wing to still want to prevent his old buddies from beating the tag champions. And maybe it sets up like a six-man ladder match at Vengeance Day or Stand and Deliver or something.
Okay.
If it were me, I would find a way to put the titles on the Rascals. I think that would be a great way to start off this relationship. NXT doesn't really have a lot of over hot tag teams right now. They're kind of at a point where they just say, screw it, we can throw anybody in there with Fraxium and the match will be good. And it works, but they don't have guys that are over. The Rascals, I think, are very over and they could freshen things up as tag champions. If I were booking, that's what I would do, but I don't think they would do that. So I expect to see some kind of fuckery to happen.
I gotcha. Well, I'm glad you were able to watch some of it, and I'm sure you'll get a chance to finish the rest later. What I will say is I thought Moose and Ace Austin was really good. I thought Josh and Santana was excellent. I thought that Jordan and Tessa probably would have had the best match of the night had they not messed up the finish a little bit. And but I still was like, they beat the piss out of each other, those two. I thought they did a great job.
I heard there was a very cool chant during that Jordan and Tessa match.
Yeah. The Dallas crowd said she's not racist.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. No, they said she's a racist. And I think there was like a counter chant. I think she's not or something like that.
When even Texas is like, yeah, that like she's kind of racist, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think it was just like the white kids from Austin that were saying that.
Yeah, the city college kids.
Yeah, yeah. But all right, man. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Glad you're able to watch it. And I'll be checking you out later, man.
All right, catch you later.
Later. All right, that was my cousin, Fed Pilled Joe Gilbert. He typically doesn't watch a ton of Impact, but because of this new partnership, he's like a primarily WWE guy. And has been since he was a baby. So he is now that WWE has opened the tent and allowed TNA in, he has crossed the line and is now going to be watching a little bit more TNA stuff. So Keep It Wolfson says tonight was mostly a Fed crowd. That's what I've been getting from a lot of the different like bigger crowds that they've had lately, is that it's been mostly like WWE fans just like, okay, TNA is in town, let's just go check it out. Let's see, I'm gonna get to the chat and then I'm just gonna run down the crowd. I do have another live report coming in, so somebody that was there live is gonna be calling in shortly. He just messaged me on Twitter, so I should have a couple people calling in that were there in the building live. 3,000 sold out, the largest paid attendance for a pay-per-view in TNA history apparently. So Steve's, the AEW fans on Blue Sky are real up in arms about that. I'm not surprised by that. Blue Sky would be more offended than anybody else. Let's see. XWF said it was a good show and glad that Joe won the title. Yeah, second best Joe to ever hold the TNA world title, I would say. Let's see. Morales says Genesis was good. There you go. What else we got? Let's see. Hendry versus Santana is going to be a good match. Probably get that in New York, maybe. Or I think they might have to do it like a transitional champion type deal. They have to do a transitional champion type deal. Lil Silva says JBL is back in WWE, and he's going to go on to different promotions, wants to wrestle. Yeah, I think he's going to have another match. Will it be with WWE? I don't know. IO, Genesis trending number 3. Yes, sir. David Jackson, I forgot how great Tessa is in the ring. Oh, yeah, I mean, look, her in-ring work was never the problem with Tessa. I still contend that she's one of the best women in North America as far as, like, just in-ring ability. She proved that tonight. Like, she still got it. She's still really good. Let's see. Steezy, Ryan Nemeth is trying to be Owen Hart. Yeah, he's being the annoying little brother, definitely. VR Fraction seems like the first real decent names that have appeared in this crossover. Well, from the WWE side, for sure. I know Wesley came over. Wesley was kind of a big deal. He was I think he was the North American champion. He was a tag champion. So he was pretty big. But I said, but Fraction, yeah, they're like actively holding title belts. I think that's pretty big. Let's see. Terrence, I give Genesis an 8.75. Had to deduct a point for Tessa winning. Otherwise, it would have. I mean, what was she going to do? Is she going to lose? The report came out after the match is over that Jordan Grace is gone. She's WWE bound. She's not coming back. Tessa had to win. Tessa signed here. She's not going away. Despite the chance, she's not going away. They really like her. Like, I guess except for Tasha Steelz, apparently. There was a whole controversy there. Justin Johnson, how are you and BQ going to go head to head? You know, he and I should have coordinated a little bit better. So it's funny. He and I talked about potentially doing a live co-stream. And then we moved the Mike and JD show over to Sunday nights. And then so we were just going to do it on our own. And then when JD couldn't do it, I should have then reached out to BQ. But honestly, at one point, BQ wasn't going to go live tonight. So we just kind of got our wires crossed. But hey, you guys should watch BQ. He and I have different tastes, so you'll get different flavors from me and BQ. So definitely watch him. Brian, Santino told Josh he has to appear on Thursday after doing this angle. I think he goes to NXT. Yeah, I think that there's going to be an angle, but I do think that he is out. I was bullish on him possibly having an opportunity to stay, but I think he's out. He's gone. Yeah. So, yeah, Josh is going to be there this Thursday. Keep it Wolfson. Crowd hated Tessa. Yeah. I'm sure that they did. All right. Brandon Crago said, I would not be shocked if the show had over possibly 4,000 people. I'm being told that it's like three. It's like three. But that it was more than what AEW had the last time they were there. Let's not be Court Bauer and just kind of like just start making up stuff. So let's not do that. Yeah. Brian says, Fightful said Tessa is signed to TNA. So there you go. All right. While I await some callers, let's go ahead and run down the card. I guess on the pre-show, I didn't get a chance to watch the pre-show. Jake something beat Ashanti the Adonis. I didn't see it. I'll be honest, I have not seen much of Ashanti the Adonis. I'm sure he's a fine human being. But Jake beat his ass. So there you go. And then Frankie the Future Kazarian defeated one Leon Slater by cheating, of course. Because they're still doing this whole thing where Leon loses a bunch of matches before they ultimately get him the X Division championship. So they're doing that. And then of course it was hosted by Busted Open. After the Busted Open stuff, tonight, I hope that Sirius just cancels that show altogether. It was terrible. Those guys suck on television. They had no business being there. They sucked the energy out of the crowd when they were there. That was terrible, and I never want to see them on television again. I'm talking even like as the Busted Open crew. I'm not talking about like Mark Henry individually. When Mark Henry left AEW, I thought that he should have come over to TNA and should have been a manager for Moose. That I thought that would have been a cool pairing. Because Moose just has that kind of character and Mark Henry's a legend. So I thought that would have been a cool. But hold on. Lee. Okay, so you people saying she's not signed. Where's your actual proof? No, Fightful said she is signed. She's signed. Tessa is signed. Yeah. I don't know who's saying she's not signed, but no, the report just came out. She's signed. A couple weeks ago, Tessa said she wasn't signed. So that's why we said she wasn't signed, is because she said it. And then now Fightful saying she is. So there you go. Like now she is. It's not, there's no controversy. Nobody's lying. She wasn't. And now she is. Like they probably just got the deal done. So this is not a big deal. Right. So she just works there now. She was actually like in Dallas the whole weekend advertising for the show. They like her doing that. She does a good job. I know it's real controversial to compliment Tessa right now, but she does a good job with that stuff. They like putting her out there. They definitely do. So the opening match, I really liked. It was Moose versus Ace Austin. I thought the way that they told the story of Ace fighting for Bay's honor was like, I knew that he wasn't going to win. So I was like, man, I don't know that I would have went there. But when they did, I did feel like it made Ace more sympathetic, and and I think it got Ace Austin over a little bit more, and he was over to this crowd. He really was. And I thought they had a good big man, little man, and then it ultimately turned into an X Division match. Like it kind of started off as like your standard pro wrestling match, and then they just kind of worked their way into an X Division style match, and I thought they did a great job. They had a little bit of interference. That doesn't bother me. Moose is a heel, right? And they're trying to portray Ace Austin as like a big star. And I thought they did a good job of that. So if you're going to try to keep Austin as a big star and he's a babyface, I think the heel has to cheat to win, right? And it was mild cheating, like nothing crazy, right? It wasn't like somebody just came and laid him out and then Moose just pinned him, like cheating in a little bit. He got the outside heels out of there, the system out of there. And then he got back in. They wrestled for a little bit longer. Then Moose hit him with the spear and called it a night. So, like, I thought they did a good job with the closing sequence. Ace seemed to be pretty over with the audience. I thought he did a great job. Ace is probably somebody that they're going to get behind this year. I really do believe that. He has been on the cusp. Every time we think he's about to break out in this company, he gets kind of knocked right back down. I think with some of the personality and profile pieces that they've done recently, I think that they're more willing now to get behind them than they ever were before. So I just feel like I just wish that he kind of like looked more like a tough guy. Like he's got such a baby face because he's so young, but he's been in this company for 7 years. He's been around since 2018 in just in this company. And he was, you know, I think he was in MLW prior to that. So I think it's time for him to break out for real. Justin Johnson said opinions on the updated X Division title. I had a copy of those pictures early and but I opted not to post them publicly. Although if you go back on one of my thumbnails from recent weeks, not this latest one, but there was one before that where it says the if you look at it, you look at the thumbnail and it says the future of the X Division title. I put a picture of this exact belt up in the corner as kind of like an Easter egg and nobody caught it except for like a couple of people that I showed. I was like, hey, look what I'm doing. Well, I'm just being a dick. But yeah, I had a picture of the belt like a month ago. And so I wanted everybody to get the surprise in. So I did not post it publicly, but, So I did think that that match was like pretty good. So, and then they immediately went right into the System versus Macklin and Eric Young. I thought that match was just okay, honestly. And I like all these guys. I think they're all pretty good wrestlers, but they didn't really do anything overly spectacular. It was just like a good pro wrestling match. Macklin and Eric Young got the victory. I probably would have went with the System there, even though you guys know I'm a Macklin guy. I just don't see a future for the tag team of Macklin and Young. Maybe they're going to get the next tag title shots, but I think they've already been foreshadowing that this team is like going to break up soon. The team started with problems. They're on the same page now. And I think the future is these two guys fighting each other. And so that's just what they're just going to go to that. They have to go to that sooner rather than later. So I'm like, I don't know if I ought to beat the System, but I guess if they're going to be the number one contenders, they got to at least win one match, which is kind of like what they do in TNA. They don't really have a deep tag division. So if you win a match, you get a title shot. That's how this works. So, but I thought the match was good, not great. It wasn't like it's not anything like if you didn't watch the beginning of the show, I don't think you need to go back and watch that match. You probably just skip that. Speaking of skipping matches, whatever you do, do not go watch Ash and Heather by Elegance versus Spitfire. I think it picked up there towards the end, but for the first half of that match, it was brutal. At one time, somebody got hit with pom-poms. It was just like hokey shit. I don't think the crowd was really all that into it. The Elegance girls were dressed like cowboy cheerleaders, and then they said they'd go Eagles, and it's just like cheap stuff and kind of like a slapstick comedy around the ring and just not really being taken seriously, which is fine. It's like okay to have comedy stuff on the undercard, but it was really like, hey, if you need to go take a shit, like at that point, That was the time to shit, I think. Anytime Ash by Elegance is about to wrestle, if you need to go use the bathroom, go take care of that. Yeah. Dan V900 said the pom-pom spot was awful. Yeah, it was brutal. Not like she hit, like the lady hit somebody with a pom-pom. I think it was Heather. It might have been Danny. I can't remember. Hit her with a pom-pom and then she sold it. It's like, what are we doing? Like, we know this is fake. You don't got to like rub it in her face. Come on. I think there towards the end of the match, it started to kind of get going a little bit. Occasionally the match would pick up, but for the most part, it was not good. This match was not good. Io says, Jody Threat looked good. Io has always got a positive take on this stuff. I love this guy. He's the best. He's the best. And then next, we go to what I thought was going to end up being the match of the night. I really did. They were literally having the match of the night was Tessa Blanchard versus Jordynne Grace. They were beating the holy living shit out of each other. They were really like just laying into each other, like stiff slaps and punches and elbows and forearms, slams to the outside, like stiff ass spine busters. Like they were laying that shit in. That was some old school type wrestling between these two ladies. They were really kicking the hell out of each other. And I was really into this match. I really did dig it. I know that the crowd started chanting, "She's a racist." I'm just like, and you know, I think, you know, Impact, I don't think, or TNA, I don't think TNA is going to really have that problem very often going forward, but they're going to run into some crowds, especially live crowds, where they might have some of those issues. But Tessa got a lot of chance too. They were like, there was a section of the audience that was really into Tessa, and they were chanting, "Let's go Tessa." And then there was another side chanting, "Tessa sucks." And then the "She's a racist" chant started, and it's like, "No, she's not," was another chant. And so you're going to get some of those distractions with her, but what you're also going to get is very likely one of the best women's matches of the week, every week that she wrestles. Cause she's really that good. On North American television, she's that good. She can hang with any of them. She can. She can cut good promos. She's got, like, her selling's great. Everything she does looks great. Like, her moves all look great. She's not like a botch machine other than the finish, which I don't really put that heat on her. So I guess, I don't know if it was earlier in the night or if it was in Atlanta. I guess Tasha Steelz refused to shake her hand. And now people are saying she's using Tasha's move. I don't know what Tasha's move is because she never wins matches. But are they talking about the Magnum where she comes off the ropes and does the lung blower stuff where she does the double knees to the chest? Is that what they're talking? I don't know. But apparently her and Tasha got some heat and Tessa's using one of Tasha's moves. But if it's that move, Tessa's been using that move since before Tasha was a wrestler, I think. So I don't know. I don't know. But apparently Lucky Charm is saying the cutter. That's not Tasha Steele's move. That's Diamond Dallas Page's move, right? He took it from Johnny Ace. Randy Orton then took it. Bubba Ray Dudley took it. Everybody in the goddamn Bullet Club was using it at one point. Everybody uses that move. Some idiots even call it the Stun Dog Millionaire, but when they just do a variation of the cutter. So I think somebody online tried to make that a controversy, and then Sean Ross Sapp amplified it, I believe, with a quote tweet saying that Tasha didn't want to shake her hand. You know, I get why Tasha wouldn't want to shake her hand. I don't think anybody in that company is going to care, though, unfortunately. So... Oh, yeah, Stun Dog is a stunner. Thank you, Wolfson. Thank you. I appreciate it. So, anyway, but I thought Mark Haskins used that. That's correct. Yeah, you're right. But anyway, so I thought the match was fantastic. And then we get to the end where I think it was like a sunset flip spot or whatever, and Tessa grabbed hold of the middle rope, and she's supposed to pull the turnbuckle pad off. And it's too tight. It's like she couldn't pull it off. It was just on there way too tight. And so they just keep wrestling at that point. And then at one point Tessa says, "Fuck it," and goes to the bottom turnbuckle, rips that off, and tries to DDT Jordan on that, and then misses it. And then they keep wrestling again. And then she says, "Fuck it," again, goes to the middle turnbuckle, and then just rips it completely off right in front of the ref. The ref said, "Hey, don't do that." Tessa said, "I'm still doing it." Ref does nothing. She throws Jordan into it and then hits the Magnum for the victory. Completely buried the ref. Like, that ref now has to go get a new job because she's very clearly not good at her job by letting Tessa just do that. I'm talking like kayfabe wise. Like, she's not very good. So, it is what it is. So that kind of like took the match down at that point. It's like, you can't really give it like full praise because of that. And then of course the finish, I don't want to say it was flat. It wasn't flat, but you get that when some of the heels win, especially like very few people in that building wanted Tessa to win. Very few people in that building wanted Tessa to win. It's Jordan's hometown. Tessa's hated. The whole thing was a bad mix. Jordan is a professional and God love her. She's a professional and she did her job and she gave Tessa a hell of a match. and let Tessa beat her ass, and she beat Tessa's ass, and they finished the match, and I thought overall they did a really good job, but they could have done that finish without the turnbuckle spot. I think because, you know, that was probably the agreement. Like, there's got to be a little bit of fuckery in the finish because of, you know, some of the perceived heat. But, it, you know, it was what it was. But, yeah, Tessa gets the victory there. Much to the dismay of a lot of people online and in the building. But we'll see. We'll see if TNA – it's something to monitor. Like, will TNA continue to have a problem with people taking over the audience when Tessa's wrestling? My opinion is I don't think they're going to have that problem for very much longer. I think ultimately this whole thing's just going to go away. When she came back to TNA, I think it was a story on Twitter for like 3 days. I got 2 thumbnails out of that thing with a lot of views, a lot of clicks, a lot of views. Some ad revenue came my way. And, you know, of course, I'm going to take advantage. And so, but then the story just died. It really did. I think it's going to get amplified and get a little bit more because of the audience reaction. And then, of course, Tasha Steele's not wanting to shake Tessa's hand. Like, that's, it's like, no offense, Tasha, but you're not on the pay-per-view, and you rarely are. So, but I can see why Tasha would not want to shake her hand, because Tessa's got herself a reputation, and apparently she has not done enough to get that reputation out of her life, but is what it is. I'm going to welcome on a guest who was there in the audience live. Welcome to the stage, Mr. Brian. How do I pronounce your last name, Brian?
Oh, Zillum, Mike.
Brian Zillum. Brian Zillum was there in the audience tonight, man. Thank you for joining us. I'm so happy you're able to be here. What did you think of the show overall, man? Brian, are you there? Well, he was there for a second. Here he is. I see your finger.
Sorry, Mike.
No, you're good.
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me now, Mike?
I can hear you now. So what did you think of the show overall, perfect. Dude?
You know, it was fun. Very fun show. I mean, I would say I do have to first put over TNA did an excellent job promoting this, like, just within the city of Dallas. Yeah. I saw a lot of tickets apparently moved once the partnership went formal, but you know, TNA has been doing a lot of media for the last pretty much month or so for the shows, doing the Hardys, and then obviously Nick Nemeth and Tessa have been doing rounds, and then obviously they're doing some media for next next week for the San Antonio shows. So do I have to put them over for their promotion of getting the folks in there? I don't know what the total attendance was, but I mean, I would think probably at least 3K at least.
Yeah, that seems to be the prevailing theory, that it was 3,000 paid. I know they did. They obviously had some comps too, so which they typically would do, but they legitimately filled that building up to, like, at least with the way that they had it set up, they filled it up. Like the entire setup.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've been in that building.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Several times now for AEW shows, Mike, and obviously the TNA setup, the one thing that they, they kind of did like the WWE setup in a way. The ring is obviously smaller, and they did like a, you know, smaller entranceway and stuff like that. So they were able to obviously cram some more, you know, folks in there. But everything from like the setting, the staging, I thought they actually did like a really, really great job with everything, honestly.
Yeah. What did you think of the closing sequence of the Tessa Blanchard Jordan Grace match?
I mean, it was a mess. Like, yeah. I thought, like, you know, obviously they both worked really hard. I don't know, because it was weird. Okay, so like I was in section 112, so it was weird because it looked like, from my perspective, she tried to pull the bottom turnbuckle first. That didn't work, and then she went for the middle, and she was struggling with that as well. So that was like, ooh, that kind of just ruined.
So I think you missed it from your vantage point, but on TV, there was a sunset flip attempt by Jordan Grace, and she was trying to hold on to the middle turnbuckle, and that was the spot where it was supposed to come off, but it didn't come off.
So she just went
back to it, and she did it right in front of the referee, and now the referee has to get a new job.
Gotcha, yeah. From my vantage point, I was like, oh, God, this referee is just standing at Tessa, just tearing off this turnbuckle for ages, like, why is she just sitting here? She looks like a complete doofus. Like, why is this taking forever? And then it ended. So there was that. So,
do you think that TNA is going to have some issues going forward with some of the live reactions to Tessa, given her past?
Well, Mike, she's been doing media currently, and I've seen some of her interviews. I haven't seen a lot of them, but they're going to have to think about how they're going to approach this. Because I will say, Mike, so do you remember the Great American Bash, the NXT show? I believe it was almost, was it last year? Yeah. So think of it this way. I was at the NXT show where Gable Stevenson got booed out of the building in favor of Baron Corbin. This was like three times as, like, I was just, wow, like, really, really just shocked by actually the reaction, because, you know, we're in the weeds. So we obviously are privy to what's going on. And, you know, Texas, it's pretty wild in general. So they're going to be pretty friendly to, like, if someone's not, like, the best, has, like, some stuff out there. But yeah. I was really surprised. There was the racist chants, fuck you, Tessa. I mean, I just don't know what you do.
Yeah. So watching on TV, it seemed like she was just getting like good heat up until the she's a racist chant. And it seemed like there was like a small amount of people at that point trying to take over. And then it kind of grew into something bigger.
Yeah. I mean, they're like, I know Fightful has got like a good video going up right now. I mean, I don't know what it's at right now. They're gonna have to just address it, because it's interesting, because I think, you know, you and I are in a couple group chats, or, you know, Discords, we say, like, with TNA, are they like technically a WWE employee? Like, I don't even know how that works.
No, think of it like New Japan and AEW. Like, New Japan doesn't work for AEW. So this is not like a situation between Ring of Honor and AEW where Tony outright owns Ring of Honor. This is more of a AEW New Japan situation.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, whether they want to or not, I feel like it would be in their best interest to just be transparent at this point, because if that's happening in a Texas crowd, it's probably going to carry. And, you know, if they had any visions of her showing up on WWE television, I don't think that's going to, well, I don't think that would go over well. I don't know if that would carry over to, if Tessa Blanchard showed up tomorrow and Monday Night Raw in Dallas, would she get that same reaction, you think?
I think the Raw crowd is going to be far more casual than your NXT TNA crowd. I would assume that 95% of the people of a Raw crowd would not even know what happened.
This is true, and that's what I was more amazed, Mike, because, you know, there's been so much time in between, like, her departure, her, obviously, you know, within the last, she popped up within the last month, and she's been doing media, and, you know, she's, looks like she's officially back with the company.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say if I was her, I would say it would be at this point in her best interest to be transparent and just be open to some interviews that, you know, probably need to be addressed. Because if not, it's just going to just carry over and fester. And then if you have any, you know, bigger pictures of working within even the NXT locker room, you still have other people that you need to kind of address and talk to, because it's not, you know, you have Chelsea Green, who seems like a, you know, pretty, I've not had a conversation with the young lady ever, but, you know, WWE, for all apparent reasons, Mike, they are going to be pretty, you know, straight and narrow on their Twitter. And just the fact that she is still, like, in her real life character saying, well, I still have not heard anything from her, that's kind of saying a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, what I always said was, like, you know, maybe Tessa just doesn't have it in her to have those awkward conversations, but she might, if she wants to get past it, she might need to have them. It doesn't have to be in a public forum, but she at least needs to, you know, like I'm a big fan of making amends, especially when you were wrong about something. And look, we also have to face the fact she might not think she was ever wrong. She might not actually do that stuff again, but she might have thought that she was justified in her behavior back then. So I legit just don't know. So what did you think of the Josh Alexander Mike Santana match? I happen to really enjoy that match.
My match of the night. I think you and I kind of had discussions on our fondness of Mr. Santana and, you know, how he's done in TNA since he's kind of popped up. I really thought he got one of the louder reactions of the night. You know, you could probably say Hendry, you know, winning the title, of course, but in terms of just like kind of a guy who, you know, doesn't really have like a direction at the moment. You know, he's not in a huge, huge program, but considering basically he was kind of playing the Eddie Kingston role, and he was just having a wrestling match for the shake of a handshake, I think he was pretty damn over to that Texas audience, for sure. You know, I thought, you know, if this was, you know, I guess that's one of the main stories coming out of the night, right? We've got a lot of swan songs coming out of, you know, TNA tonight. If this was Alexander's, you know, last match in TNA, he definitely, you know, lived up to his accolades of, you know, doing a lot of great work in TNA. I obviously haven't watched all of his work, but from what I've seen, you know, he's very good at his craft. And I think you said it best, you know, wish him the best. And, you know, it's time for him to get, you know, paid for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, he's, you know, getting close to that 40-year-old mark. You know, I think he's like a couple years away and he's been beat up. I think it's time for him to get that big payday while he still can. So I hope he's able to do that. They did announce that he's going to be on Impact this coming up week and to address the fans. So we'll see what that means. It looks like they're turning this whole thing into an angle, but I'm being realistic and I believe that he's out. So eight or TNT finally pulled the trigger on Joe Hendry. We all thought it was happening at Bound for Glory, but they tried to make him into their Cody. A lot of people thought that he was going to lose some luster heading into Genesis and he wouldn't be as over. But I think he proved a lot of people wrong. He was still pretty over in that building tonight, wasn't he?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, saw a lot of We Believe merch. You know, I heard a lot of people kind of just mutter, okay, this is why I came here. This is why I drove over here. They wanted to really, really see, you know, Joe Hendry. You know, it's been, you know, I would say an interesting experiment just because I just presumed he was going to just kind of end up in NXT eventually, right? It just seemed like that was the destiny. And then they stopped kind of using him, which I thought was kind of unusual because it seemed like he was connecting with that audience for sure. But I would say, you know, he worked a fine match. And I think it's really, really cool to see a guy who's just been, you know, busting his ass for the last, whatever, 20 years. I don't know about you, Mike. I came around, like, I would say I'm a, you know, day one entry truther. I just, yeah. You know, sometimes you go down those YouTube rabbit holes. And, you know, for those who don't remember, What Culture Pro Wrestling had a promotion. And they were doing a lot of, like, matches with, like, a lot of free agents at the time that, like, WWE hadn't, you know, just, they were just out there. Like, that's when Rey Mysterio was a free agent, Kurt Angle, Ricochet, Ospreay, when they were still coming up. He was in there doing bits, and I was like, wow, this guy is really funny. This is something really different. He's obviously very talented. He can sing. Hopefully he'll connect with someday. And I was kind of just looking around, and, you know, I know he's had opportunities in Ring of Honor. I know he had, you know, some cameos in Impact. And I was just befuddled, or I just didn't understand why nobody gave this guy a chance. And I'm just glad he just still believed in himself and believed in the fans. And, you know, I think it was a very, very cool moment for this, like, Texas, obviously, to enjoy this moment with Hendry. And I was hoping there wasn't going to be chicanery. I thought there was going to be a situation where Hendry won and then Kazarian cashed in, which I'm glad they didn't go to. Probably time for Nemeth to do something different. So, you know, if we are going to have, like, a Kazarian Hendry type of feud, maybe that's a good kind of, buffer feud to lead up to the show. I think they announced the next pay-per-view is in El Paso, right? Or is that Los Angeles?
So they have a TNA Plus special, one of their, like, B-level events in El Paso coming up in March. So their next pay-per-view is Rebellion in LA at the Galen Center at the USC campus.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. El Paso, I will definitely not be making that drive. So
that's a rough drive from Dallas. I've been down to El Paso. That's way down there.
I'm good on that one. As much as I, you know, like my new friends, Santana and Hendry, I will say no on that one.
Yeah. But San Antonio is only a couple hours away. You can make that trip.
Maybe. I've got some. I have something in the works. I can't say anything yet, Mikey. Maybe.
Okay.
I've got something maybe for some work for the show. I won't be there, but maybe I might have. I'm working on a little something.
Okay. We will be on the lookout for whatever you got cooking.
Down the pipe. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. No, for sure. I actually had a nice little chat with the Hardys, who you could probably even say they had a great reaction for themselves.
I was going to ask you, who had the bigger pop, the Hardys or Hendry?
I might even say the Hardys, Mike.
That on TV, that's the way that it looked to me.
As we were leaving the arena, I was waiting obviously for some folks to clear out the parking lot. So TNA was actually setting up some photo sessions, and the Hardys actually were setting up some fan photos, and the line was ginormous to take photos with the Hardys. Like, I was good reaction. I had a nice little chat with Matt and Jeff about a week ago. They seem to both be doing great. Really happy for them. It seems like Jeff is in, you know, really, really good headspace. I'm happy for him. I was kind of worried. So was there anything on the television, Mike, that reflected maybe Jeff hurting his knee? I was really worried because he was gimpy a little bit after the Swanton. I didn't know if there was, like, something that kind of, like, happened on the move, or were they rolling around when Jeff was, something happened and he twisted his knee?
I couldn't tell where he hurt it at, but when the match was over, it looked like he was limping, but he could also just be selling too. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hardys are kind of up there now. I believe Jeff is 47 years old, so you know, I'd rather if he's selling, he's working me, then I'm happy he is, because definitely don't need him, you know, getting hurt at his age. But were you surprised they you know, set up the little angle with Fraxium?
No, and in fact, they foreshadowed it with the promo that they did on Thursday, and then of course, what's the Frazier? I keep wanting to call him Brendan Frazier. Fraxium. What's his name? Nathan Frazier.
Nathan Frazier and Axiom. Okay.
Yeah, and then Axiom, yeah. So he actually was reading the Book of Genesis today on Instagram and posted that. So I was like, yeah. But they actually showed a clip of Fraxium in the promo for Genesis, as well as Cora Jade. So I was like, well, they're saying surprises, but they're telling us what's coming. And so I'm okay with that. Like, they kind of spoiled their own surprise a little bit, but it seemed like it still got a pop out of the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, when Sean and, you know, Paul, they're tweeting directly about the show, you kind of figured something was going to pop up. I mean, you know, all things considered, because you don't really think about it until they announced it. So this is actually like, you know, the shows this week are live. So this is the first time TNA's had shows in 8 years. So I think the tag team match they'll get with Fraxium and the Rascals should be, you know, pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really happy that they're going live, and I hope that it ends up leading to a bigger distribution deal, this whole WWE thing, because that Access TV sure is a dead channel. it's a nothing thing.
Yeah, you would like them to be just, there's so many random cable stuff out there, but I mean, us kind of being in the sports world, we kind of know that's like a hot mess express. I mean, you know, every baseball team, every basketball team seems like they have to make their own app to get their own television, which I don't understand how anything works and how people make money. I just don't understand that. So hopefully they get something a little bit more concrete, so you know, folks could check them out a little bit more. You know, honestly, if I had the time, I just don't know where they are at on DirecTV. I space out sometimes, really honestly. If there was like an easy just like button where I could, you know, find them, or it's a little bit more convenient, I'd love that.
Yeah. I what I did is I just bought their app, and it's live on the app, and then it's like on demand immediately. So
interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask Mike, so that, like, what did you think of the pacing of the show? Obviously this was kind of like my first, well, I mean, I guess Impact experience as, you know, a pay-per-view. Well, like, what did you think of the pacing watching at home as far as, like, the flow of the show?
I thought they paced it out pretty well. I did feel like a couple of matches went a little too long. I felt like they could have went home a little bit earlier. I did feel like Hendry and Nemeth at times were taking turns resting. So, like, they were not interested in doing a whole lot in that match. I say that knowing that it still got over. So, but I thought the pacing of it was pretty good, with exception to when the Busted Open crew came out and sucked the life out of the crowd. I thought they were terrible.
I really don't. So are they kind of just openly just working as like WWE employees now, or what's the story? What's the scoop with that?
I don't know if they're being paid by WWE, but they're certainly WWE adjacent. They know. Look, Busted Open's been around a long time. Dave LaGreca is a smart guy, despite the way he portrays himself on the radio. They've been around a long time. They know what gets them the most interest and what drives their numbers and what drives their business, and it's being friends with WWE and being able to get WWE talent on their shows. And Nick Nemeth and Tommy Dreamer work for TNA, and they work for Busted Open. So it makes sense that they're going to be favorable to TNA. They've been on the show before. Dave LaGreca's worked angles on the show before. And now they're kind of like, you know, pushing this whole grift of TNA taking over AEW as number two. And the funny thing is like, guys like you and I know that they're just trying to generate engagement, generate conversation, and a little bit of controversy. But there's a significant amount of people that don't understand that, and they think that it might be true. And that's the part that bothers me about those guys.
Yeah, and especially since they have, like, a audience that is like, I want to say, like in 2025, I want to be a little bit more like understanding that there may, like, you know, because we could be maybe buttheads sometimes, like on socials, right? Where somebody's like, will seem like very, it'll sound like a smarty ass, quite like a question, but they could honestly just be sincere where they just legitimately don't know. And I kind of feel like if you're a particular group, or if you're a person who has a following, I kind of feel like you do have a responsibility to kind of provide all the facts out there, because, you know, I'm sure you saw it kind of run rampant last week, Mike, where, you know, I'll call them out right now. WrestleVotes just basically tweeted out Vince McMahon's tweet where it said case closed. And I feel like that I felt like that was irresponsible as hell. And I'll call the other person out, Chris Van Fleet. He put that on his socials, and I thought that was very irresponsible of doing that. And then, like you said, when, like, you know, Busted Opens has a following, and I don't know what their, like, demo or viewership is or whatever, but, you know, when you're kind of in there, they're going to just go by, well, you know, if Dave LaGreca says AEW's in the mud, then I'm going to believe what he says.
Yeah, because some people, that's all that they get their news from. Because they've been on the air for, I think Busted Open's been around for like 10, 15 years almost. I have a serious Lifetime subscription. I have not used it much in the last 5 or 6 years. But I was a pretty regular Busted Open listener, and then like podcasts kind of took over for me. But I know that there's a whole subset of fans that like they'd never stopped, and that's just where they get their news from. And so if Dave LaGreca is saying something, they believe it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I will be honest, Mike. I have never had a serious subscription. I've never heard their show, and it doesn't sound like I'm missing much.
No, you're not. You were never Howard Stern guy, huh?
No. I mean, not really. So from growing up in the Dallas area, I don't know if you're like super familiar, kind of like with the scene up in the Dallas area. So 1310 The Ticket was like one of the first kind of major Dallas area radio stations that launched, especially when the Cowboys, you know, are winning Super Bowls and things like that. So that's what I kind of grew up on, like old school, like not like necessarily Howard Stern talk, but like these shows, like, you know, Jerry Jones would hop on and like take calls and stuff. So that's, you know, adjacent in a way. I'm kind of on that level. I just went more with like actual like sports, like old school stuff, and kind of like what we're doing right now. Like,
yeah,
I'm on the road heading home, and you know, we're talking to the show. So really excited about that. I do want to ask. So normally within like the TNA like Impact pay-per-view, Mike, have they normally featured this many women's matches on a pay-per-view?
Usually the tag match is on the pre-show, but yeah, you're typically going to get 2 to 3 women's matches on every show. And so it's kind of the calling card of the company where they try to feature as many women as possible. But even tonight, I think they featured 8. A lot of times they'll actually even be more, because they'll probably throw on like an 8 women's tag or something like that on the pre-show. But they do try to keep their women performers fairly busy, and they put them in feature positions. So the Knockouts title, I'll be honest, excuse me, Masha and Rosemary was not a hot feud. It was just kind of thrown together at the last minute. But because Masha's the champion, they got top billing over Jordan and Tessa, even though Jordan and Tessa had the hotter feud, because they just want to, they believe that the Knockouts championship is equal to the World Heavyweight Championship, and that's why that title actually headlines pay-per-views at times, because it's on par. They call it the Knockouts World Championship.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean, obviously that was like my first taste of both women, and my only kind of experience with Rosemary is I know she popped up on NXT one time, and she was doing spooky stuff with the spooky chicks, and I was like, okay, I'm out. I'm not really into this, but like, it was funny as I saw, I guess without knowing we sent out similar tweets. It looks like, cause
oh gosh. I think I lost Brian there for a sec. Hold on. It was like repeating there. Let me see if I can bring him back.
Cause
no, I think we lost Brian. I'm gonna go ahead and just let Brian go. Thank you, Brian Zillum. He does a lot of work around the space. You can follow him on Twitter. He's easy to find, Brian Zillum. And I've seen him do some work for like local Dallas stuff, and of course PW Torch. So he's a big deal. Me and him are friends in the Fight Game Media Discord group. All right, so let's get to the rest of the show. So we had Josh Alexander. He lost the I Quit match to Mike Santana. I thought that match was fantastic. Look, that's going to be an angle, but I thought that Mike Santana came across looking like a star in the match, which is exactly what that match was designed to do. But I thought both guys worked really, really hard. And then, of course, we had the tag team title match. We had the Hardys versus the Rascals. Fraxium came out at the beginning of the match. They got a huge pop. Of course, they did get involved. You knew they were going to get involved. The Hardys ran into them, and then eventually the Rascals did a dive, a tope out there onto Fraxium, and then they were eliminated from the match. And then, of course, the Hardy Boys got the victory, and the Hardy Boys were over as can be. Very likely the most overact on the show by far. And then with Joe Hendry being second, the Mike Santana being third. And then, of course, we got to the main event. Joe Hendry and Nick Nemeth, very basic match. They did nothing, but it still got over. So who am I to judge? Like, I don't know. I didn't think the match was all that good. I found myself getting bored during the match, to be honest with you. But they did the finisher kickouts, which always gets a pop. They did some interferences. JBL showed up, took out Frankie Kazarian, punched Ryan Nemeth in the face, knocked him out. And Joe Hendry finally got the victory, man, to send the crowd home happy. All right, the last topic I want to hit, and I know you guys are going crazy in the chat. I ain't got a whole lot of time left. Keep it Wolfson said, it wasn't very over. It seemed like the crowd was just kind of dead and bored while they were waiting for the interference and while they were waiting for the finish. I think that's what it was. Like Ewan says, I was watching JBL when he came in and praying that he didn't go to the ring steps. I was very glad that he left. Yeah, me too. Dream Ultra Crazy, I believed in Joe Hendry and he did it. And he's very excited. He got the exclamation points. All right. So lastly, I do want to address PCO. I know a lot of people want to talk about PCO. I don't know anything what's going on with PCO. I think this is going to be controversial. I saw the video. It looked like it worked to me. I think that TNA wanted to get rid of that belt anyway. They let PCO have the night off. He wasn't booked. And he probably was like, can I just destroy this thing on Game Changer, get myself over in my new company? And they're probably like, yeah. Because TNA and Game Changer work together sometimes. Not like they don't do joint shows, but TNA allows their talent to work there. And so, and I saw it, and then he was using the sledgehammer on that belt. And then one of the guys in the ring, I thought he looked like he was acting, trying to get PCO to stop, and then they cut the feed. The whole thing seemed like it worked to me. If it's not, I think Anthem has a lawsuit, and they should probably go ahead and sue Game Changer, which would be devastating to that little company. Because they spent money on that Hammerstein Ballroom, and it was very full, but they were handing out a lot of tickets, man. But they did fill the place up, so kudos to them, but they did not sell that many. So I know that's my read on it. Ewan, no one has reported that PCO was promised the world title. Ewan, I reported that. Now, nobody looks at me as a reporter because obviously I don't want to be called that. But he told me that in public. And then I talked about it on Flagship Plus with Joe Lanza. And I guess, yeah, nobody else has really picked it up. But he was promised. Oh, you know I did. Okay. So he was promised the world heavyweight title. And he was very mad. He DM'd me. Yeah, he said he gave me a comment in public. And then he sent me a DM that, yeah, he was promised the world title by Scott. And then Scott got fired, and then he never got the world title, and he's pretty pissed off about it. And now his contract's due. And I asked him if he was resigning. He said, we'll just see what happens. Well, I don't think he's coming back. I think that that he is done with the company. He basically quit. He quit at the Game Changer show, and he got himself over a little bit. But if that was a shoot, and that was like not a planned thing, and TNA didn't buy off on that, then I think TNA is very likely going to sue Game Changer. Okay, Dan V900 says PW Insider is reporting that it wasn't a work and it was legit with PCO. here's the thing about PW Insider. They can be very good when they want to be, but they're very much in the pocket of TNA, MLW, and WWE. Very much. They will push out whatever you want them to push out. They like being in the tent. So they're not going to push out anything that's like antagonistic to those companies, or they're not going to put anything those companies don't want out there. Whatever they put out about those three companies is typically approved, right? PW Insider doesn't really have a lot of credibility with me right now. Even though Mike Johnson in the past has been very good at getting stories right, but it just seemed like at some point he crossed over into not really reporting the news. It seemed like they're just kind of reporting PR at this point. And they are on this anti-AEW thing, and it's fucking weird. It really is weird. They're on this whole anti-AEW thing, and I'm just like, because I think that they think that that's going to get them more subscriptions, and maybe they're right. I don't know. But that guy Shearer has a bunch of mental breakdowns on his deal, and it is constantly trashing AEW like it's his sport. The whole thing is weird, and he's a very pro WWE. I don't even want to call him a journalist; they're just like a media guy. It's crazy. Oh, let's see. Joseph Fedpilled Joe says, really any company. PW Insider tried to report heat on Penta for his debut and everyone debunked it. Yeah, they did say that. So yeah, they like, I don't know. They stink. PW Insider. Okay. Ewan says, Mike, don't know if you commented on this already, but do you think this show was a good offering for new fans? I do. So I'm going to leave you guys with this. I think that if TNA really wants a TV deal, I think they could probably shop this show around. You know, the crowd was hot. It was lively. I thought the action was pretty good throughout. It wasn't New Japan and AEW level. They don't have those type of wrestlers here. They just don't. But if you're a network wanting some WWE style stuff that has, you know, more indies influenced wrestling, I think you get the best of both worlds. I think that they could have something here. I think that they could have something here. I thought this was a good show that could get them sponsors, that can get them television. They got the WWE backing now. They got support from Papa H and Left Eye, HBK himself. I think that this was a good show. That if you're a WWE fan, I think that you would like this show. If you're a AEW / New Japan fan, this probably wasn't the show for you. Although I do think that you would like Moose versus Ace, Jordan versus Tessa, and Santana versus Josh Alexander. I think that you would. And actually, oh, King, my King, what's up, dude? Please recommend me matches to watch from the show. So again, if you are of the AEW New Japan types, you would very likely enjoy Moose versus Ace Austin, Jordan versus Tessa, and Josh Alexander versus Mike Santana. Those would be the three matches. If you're a Game Changer wrestling fan, you probably like Masha versus Rosemary. And if you're a WWE only fan, I think the main event was probably up your alley. A lot of chin locks and rust holds, a couple of interferences, a couple kickouts for finishers, and then a hot crowd. Like the crowd ate it up. So I think they did a good job of trying to please a lot of different audiences here. Transferring Heat says TNA got the Fed pill. They eating good now. Yeah. I mean, like, this was a very WWE influenced crowd. It was. It really was. And I think if that's the audience that they're going for, they did a good job of getting more of that audience, for real. I think they did. I think they nailed the show as far as what they wanted it to be. The new TNA, it didn't have a ton of WWE stuff on it. It had Fraxium outside and Cora Jade challenging Masha Slamovich to a future match. That was it. The rest of it was all just TNA, and I thought that that needed to be there too. Like, if they were going to tease some WWE stuff, which brought new fans in, and then it was all TNA for the most part. It was like 99% TNA stuff, and the TNA stuff I thought that they did really worked. So I thought it was Good, good stuff. Thank you guys for being here. Next week, well, actually, I'm going to be back. JD is actually out next week, so I'll find a co-host. But make sure you're a subscriber. Go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. Like this video. Please leave a comment. And make sure you're a subscriber to the channel. I would greatly appreciate it. And if you chose BQ over me, I still love you. And BQ is one of my best friends. So I hope you enjoyed his show too. Listen to both shows and subscribe to both channels. I think that would be great. But all right, guys, that is going to do it for me this week on, what was supposed to be the Mike and JD show, but is tonight for one night only on a Sunday night, Brace for Impact. You guys got a taste of what it looks like to have Brace for Impact. Every Saturday, I do a Brace for Impact right on patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. Did one yesterday, talked about a lot of stuff. Got a lot of cool chats in there too. But all right, guys, that's going to do it. And until next time, mahalo.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply. Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.